Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Can we just pray in the spirit? Give the Lord praise and worship him. Just bless his name. Thank you, Father, for your presence. We love you. We extol your name. Blessed be your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, let's get into the word. Hallelujah. So I began to think about something when we started talking on Sunday about remind me of the topic of Sunday. Kingdom responsibility. Amen. And somehow a thought flashed my mind. More like a question being answered in the teaching. Why kingdom first? I felt like God was answering the question more. I'm making it clearer. Because even though we're talking about kingdom responsibility, somehow we did in the teaching, we began to answer that question, why kingdom first? If you were very attentive, you remember. You know, God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. Amen? He's all-knowing, he's all-wise. If he says a thing, he knows why he said the thing. Are we together? There's a reason why he said the thing. And it will be for our good and not for our bad. Sometimes it's very difficult to pretend. Because I was raised to know that worship is first a person before a sound. Worship is not a sound yet until it is a person. Amen? I've said it time without number. I'm not one of the people that like to follow popular trend. I don't believe in popular trend. And I don't care what the world thinks about an ideology. If it is wrong, I really don't care. I wouldn't follow it. Amen? So I believe worship should first be a person. You know, I'm quite not excited with how worship happens in our generation. It's more like the melodies and what you get from the melodies than the real essence of worship, which is first a person before a song. A person, when we say a person now, we're talking about knowing your place in Christ, living from that place in Christ every day of your life. The truth is, as you grow up in the faith, as a man of God, as you grow in the ministry, one of the things your soul will be crying out for is more in the sense realm, although is recognition. You want to be recognized. It's quite carnal, but some of them are really sincere. You want to be recognized as somebody that preaches to. You want people to know that you preach. So I mean, you want the body of Christ to recognize you, and as you keep on growing in the ministry, you are tempted to do things that will cause you to be recognized. And a lot of times you may even slide into carnality. Hallelujah to Jesus. But if you are really sincere with the word of God, as you grow, you cut off from a lot of things out of sincerity. You begin to cut off from some things because they are not necessary. Hallelujah to Jesus. They are not necessary. For some of us, ministry, first of all, I believe there are teachings that are not for everybody. There are teachings solely for ministers, all right? Not for everybody. For instance, you will not find me come here and start teaching something like this, that as a minister, when you see people, you are not supposed to be doing, people that are rich, you are not supposed to be doing as if they can do you a favor, blah, blah, blah. You should not be getting too close to them. If I'm teaching you people that, I'm actually just being an amebo. I'm not preaching the gospel. Because what I'm saying now is not your concern. You are not in the fivefold ministry. When I find people in the fivefold ministry, I should encourage them. So this is not a message for the sheep. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Because it will not... All I'm doing is to make them start looking forward to people that are behaving like that, which they may never find because they are just here in this local assembly. So I may be kind of sharing the fact that people out there, there are a lot of fake people out there. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? And that's what the devil is, that's a narrative Satan is trying to push, especially in this season. He's trying to make people feel like a lot of pastors are fake, a lot of things are fake, but there are a lot of people that are doing well too. I hope you know that. A lot of people that are doing well. So Satan wants to push this narrative. And a foolish pastor, a foolish pastor, meaning a pastor that will allow Satan influence him, will just stand up and start making it look as if he's the only one that is doing the right thing. He doesn't know that that's an attack from the pit of hell. Jesus would not behave like that if he was on the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When you stand up every day and try to, you are ready to attack anybody that speaks anything. You just feel like everybody is wrong. Something is wrong with you. That your Holy Spirit is very strange. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because truth sees and speaks from love. It's just, that's fact. The Bible says you say truth in love. It doesn't mean you say truth in an emotional way. That's not love. Meaning you say truth with a lot of consideration. Because love sees need. It doesn't see fault. That's what it means to say the truth in love. You say truth from a lot of consideration. Jesus so loved the world. He didn't come to destroy us. He came to save us. Because he saw that we needed something. He was not seeing what... He just saw that we needed something. He didn't see our fault. He saw our need. He brought eternal life to us. That's what we needed. So love will bring your need. It will not just emphasize on your fault. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, a man of God that truly understands more than another man of God, we know that this is a rescue mission. It's not an opportunity to destroy the other person. Whenever God gives you the privilege to teach the word, you are on a rescue mission. You want to rescue not just the church, but the man of God too. So, you speak the truth in a way that the person will not feel intimidated, small, useless. But what? You know, the Bible says when we prophesy, meaning when we speak truth, 1 Corinthians 14, it says it edifies, it exhorts, and it comforts. So if it does anything outside edification, exhortation, and comfort, then it's not truth you are speaking. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Proud people will still find fault anyways, but you have to do it the right way and fulfill your righteousness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So when you see somebody speak to you in a very wrong way, very, very proud way, arrogant way, it's not from the Spirit of God. Alright? It's not from the... Now, truth is not scared. That is why sometimes in Scripture you see Jesus brutal with the Pharisees because they needed such approach. Truth is not scared, but truth is not arrogant. Truth is like a lion. It's not scared of anything that comes his way. All right, but truth, you know, is not arrogant. There's a difference between maybe slight difference between boldness and arrogance. Are we together? Boldness and what? Arrogance. Jesus was bold with the Pharisees. He didn't allow them to just say rubbish and keep him down. He stood up. At some point, they called him a small boy. He still did not care. He stood up and spoke. You know, at a point, they told him, are you not, that question insinuates that he's a small boy. Are you not Joseph's son, the carpenter? Are you not blah, blah, blah? You know, those questions were them insinuating that Jesus was just a mere boy. But he didn't stop there. He kept on speaking the word without fear. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. So there's a slight difference between what? Arrogance and what? Boldness. Alright? And it's the fruit that you use to know. Are we together? So don't be, why we're teaching things like this, so that you know that God does not hate anybody. Alright, he wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He doesn't hate anybody. So the people you are trying to criticize with the small light you have, because it's small light that will make you to criticize others. If you truly know enough, you will not be able to criticize anybody. Alright, the people you are trying to criticize, God loves them. He wants them. I hope you know that. He wants them. So you don't say it in a way that will make them out of the limelight entirely. God wants them. But you have to still say truth. You know, a lot of times we learn by models. Computer science is what we call models. And I think everybody should understand what model means. Because we have models for fashion, isn't it? What do they do when they wear those new dresses and walk in a stylish way, different ways? What do? They are trying to tell us that this is a possibility. We can start dressing like this, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And before you know it, that trend gets to the limelight. Everybody is dressing like that, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. So, a lot of people learn by models. Meaning, without you speaking, they will learn. There are some of you, but the people you are copying their dressing never spoke with you. You never spoke with them, but you dress like them. Is it true? There are some of you, the people you talk like, or are acting like before you met Christ. You never met them, but you were acting like them, isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. I used to know a lady that, many years ago, very, very funny scenario. She said to me that, Pastor, you've been counseling me, you've been laughing with me, we've been talking, but you went and chose another person to marry. Why? So, and I laughed. I said, you don't look like you want to marry a pastor, but that's not the point. You are not my wife. That's why I did not talk to you about that. You know, such a wonderful lady. We've been speaking for a long time, and the mom who knows me, I counsel the entire family. You know, sometimes I speak with the mom, sometimes I speak with everybody. She lost her dad. Very wonderful lady. And somehow we got close. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, when she said that, and I said, imagine that I want to marry you. And I asked her, this one that Tiwa Savage is your mentor, how will it work? Because she has said it one time to me that Tiwa Savage is a mentor. So, and I said, you cannot have Tiwa Savage as a mentor for a Christian, as a Christian. He said, I just like the way she dances. It's not like I'm copying her lifestyle. I like the way she dances. If I see her, I feel like crying. I say, that she watches her videos sometimes, she's almost crying. She likes her so much. So I said, imagine now you are my wife. All my girls in the church will become Tiwa Savage Jr. Am I lying? You will see Mama in a Tiwa Savage vibe. That cloth you've been hiding that you never wear, you now say, oh, it's time to wear it. Everybody's copying Mommy Gio. So when I said it, she even started laughing too. She said, indeed, I would have scattered that church. I laughed. I said, that is why you are not the person. Hallelujah to Jesus. So a lot of people will just watch you and they'll start copying your style. Amen? They'll start copying your style. For instance, look at, even in the ministry, there are some people that watch other men of God on TV selling water. They are in Macordin and selling water. in Makodi. They sell water. So you see, they watch them and they are now doing it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They never met the people. They never met them. That is why some of us as pastors, when we see something that is wrong and is being emphasized, it pains us. And we come out in boldness and speak against it. You know why? Not to condemn those people, but to block or limit what they are doing to themselves so that a generation will not copy that. Why they are standing as a model? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's not really about them or we hating them. It's about the impact it will cause on a generation. Because they are models for a lot of people. That is why it's difficult sometimes to say the truth to people that have really labored in the faith. You have to say it from a lot of consideration. Say it in love. For instance, there are people that have really labored for the gospel. Alright? They are fathers of faith in this nation. They've labored for the gospel. You can't come out and be courageous and say these people are fake prophets. It's not possible. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In fact, when I was checking the difference between a fake prophet and a false teacher, I really didn't like the way they even defined. I didn't like the fact that they had to define false teacher, call false teachers false teachers. I wish there was a better way to explain it. Maybe they would have said preachers that teach wrong doctrine. I would have liked it more. But they said false teachers are people that teach wrongly. False prophets are people that are coming from the devil. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? So a false teacher may not be a false prophet. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So even if he's sincere, it doesn't mean you should follow what he's saying because he's not a false prophet. Doesn't mean you should follow what he's saying because what he's saying will lead you astray. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And I always use our fathers and mothers that imagine your father tells you that 1 + 1. How many of you have seen how your father sacrificed for you and you love your daddy, isn't it? Look at all the sacrifices they've made for you. And you ask your daddy, for instance, that daddy was the... They gave you an assignment and it was on chemistry. So daddy, what will I even use now? Let me see whether we're intelligent in this place. Let me use atomicity. Are you remember? Science students, can you people remember? Who knows the definition? I don't want my heart to be broken today. I'm warning you people before you stand up. Who can define atomicity? People are watching us in the world, church. If people don't answer, they'll say we are alone in our church. Please, let one person. I know you people are shy. It's not like you don't know it too. Let one person stand up and answer what atomicity is. One, just one person, please. I'm begging you people in the name of God. You want to answer, right? Come, don't be shy. You know more than many people. Come. You know book. You know, it's feeling like it's only me that is answering every time. Come. If we were to write exam in this church, you will carry first. I think you should leave the choir. Join another department. Bring the mic. Join another department that no book. Counseling, welfare. Do you understand? In case you have... No, there's no science to it. So tell us, what is atomicity? Listen, everybody. Donat is listening. Say it, please. Because I don't know what happened with him since he joined this thing. Read. Go ahead. Yeah, this thing. Pastor, this thing. Number, go ahead.
Number of atoms in a molecule.
Number of what?
Atoms in a molecule.
In a molecule, numbers of atoms in a molecule. Is he right? Chemistry students, stand up. Is he right? What is a molecule? So that they will understand. A lot of people that don't know what we're saying. So what is a molecule?
A molecule is combination of atoms to make a unit of a compound.
Do you people understand this thing? As so they don't know what we are doing in this place. They think we are doing almighty formula. Alright, blessings. You can sit down. Hallelujah to Jesus. So what was I traveling to before I asked for definition? No, I think I was going somewhere. Now, you now go and meet your dad. For instance, imagine you are the dad and the mom they meet. You people that don't know. Imagine you are the dad and the mom they met. And you now said, atomicity is the number of cities in a particular location. Yes, number of atoms in the city. I think they said that's what he said. You don't say atomicity, atomicity. You don't say simple thing. Eh? Oh, you're right. Atomicity is the number of atoms in a city. Are you right? And when you are done writing, you go and submit excitedly that your father gave you. Your father, who is bigger than you, did it for you. Because, you know, he had been telling you he took first, probably. And you did it. And the teacher calls you, what rubbish is this? Are you mad? Pia, pia, pia. Who did it for you? You couldn't say it in front of the class because you don't want to disgrace your father. How many of you have been there? You couldn't just say it's your father. And if you mistakenly say your father, if some of you, your classmates will finish you forever and ever. Now, listen, if you come back home, will you be happy? There's nothing that you can do, but you'll not be happy. Because you cannot come and revenge on your father's body. But you'll be surprised that your father did not get it. Okay, now imagine you knew what atomicity is and your dad is trying to put something wrong. Will you accept it? Everybody, listen, will you accept it? Why will you not accept it? Because you are sure he's wrong. At that point, how would you correct your dad? How will you tell him he's wrong? Some people just avoid telling him and just do what is right without never bringing the matter up. Isn't it? They'll just answer the question. They'll not want to. Your dad is bringing it. Say, dad, just forget about that. Don't worry. We have settled it. Some people will tell him that with all due respect from the love of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, in meekness and kindness. Dad, you are just, I don't know how to say this, but accept it in good faith. You are W-R-O-N-G, sir. I can't say the word. So, you know, there's this carefulness how to correct him. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's how you, when you hear that a father of faith makes a mistake, you are not, now, you see, he's answerable to God, we understand. But you see, while we're correcting that wrong impression, as a younger generation growing up who had understood probably better by the Spirit, it's not because we look down on the people that had gone ahead of us. But because if we continue in that path or say nothing about that path they are taking, we're actually affirming to this present generation that they are right. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Hausa man says, Shuru Shuruma Maganade. Meaning, keeping quiet too is saying something. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? Very important. So, the only, you know, is by the fruit you understand. You can't be correcting a father of faith and you are throwing words of insult. The other time I saw Pastor Benihi, a father of faith in the nations of this world. One time he came out and he said, whatever he was doing in a certain area of his life was wrong. Listen, when we started many years ago, I remember I watched that video when he said that thing. Him and a certain prophet, I will never forget. I told my friends, I said, I don't believe in this. Yet, nobody had the impetus. When I said it, because of how we referenced the anointed those days. When I said it, well, this was their reply to me. Nobody said a word. They just said, it is well. Nobody said a word. This generation, if you just mention something, everybody will say, it's wrong. Don't just be talking anyhow. We all knew he was wrong, but everybody kept their mouth shut. Later, he had come in humility for somebody of that stature to come out and said, publicly, I'm wrong. It means that man really has a lot of God on his inside. It's not easy. After he was done saying I'm wrong, some persons had the impetus to come out and say that's fake tears. Can you imagine? You are the one that is a devil now. Hallelujah to Jesus. We should be excited that he came out to say something that... No, He blessed the generation. I mean, God, heaven are excited with what just happened. For something that some of us who are growing up understand it is wrong and don't know how to just say it because he's the one that did it. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And he's coming out to say he's wrong. We should be very happy because it's a rescue mission. We with the truth are coming for a rescue mission. So if somebody is rescued, what should we do? Be excited. Do you know there are certain people now who are claiming to hold the truth? They are claiming that they have the truth. But the way they are attacking people, what they use the truth to do is not to build people, but to attack people. Your congregation will never grow. Time after time, years after years, you find out that the people you are pastoring are retardating. They are not growing. Because when you come on Sunday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday or any day of the week that you preach, you are not trying to edify the church. You are actually trying to negate. That's a ministry, but it's not supposed to be the focal point. If I come and I'm negating people, you here are not being blessed. I'm always only using the truth to what? Negate people. And that's proof that I truly don't understand the truth. Because in no time, I'll begin to see wrong things. That's why I see some pastors, they are shocked at some point of their ministry. Their members become very bad. How on earth did you? You know, because you are majoring on other persons. You are not focused on your primary assignment. Before you know, the church members are behaving like Sodom and Gomorrah. With the truth you are claiming that you know. Now you raise people who behave like you. All they do on social media is attack people. They don't know nothing. They can't pray. Most of these people are submit to you. They can't stay with the word of God. So they can only say this is happening, that is happening. But you don't see the resultant effect in their life. So powerless in the spirit. They don't even have their secret place. They can't boast of their secret place. You know, Jesus was speaking to a church in the book of Revelation. He said, I applaud the fact that you stand against false prophets. He said that. But he said, but one thing I have against you. I was very amazed that he just applauded the people for standing against falsehood. And the next minute, he's saying what? But one thing. Does that mean that you can be standing for something wrong and yet Jesus has something against you? Yes, according to scripture, it's a possibility. Are you listening to me, people of God? This is what it means to say the truth in love. You are saying it from a lot of consideration. Many years ago, I heard a man of God, he said this. He said, the way John the Baptist was preaching the gospel, if the Pharisees had repented, he would have not been happy. Check the Bible. He was teaching the truth and insulting the Pharisees. He was really insulting them. Immediately he's baptizing. When they come, you just leave the baptism. And look at them. You wicked, blah, 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 blah. You start firing them. And of course, it was expected because he didn't have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He had not really had the nature of the new creation. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? You should not be wondering. It's a simple teaching. In Luke 9, the disciples said, called down fire. Jesus preached in a city. Jesus preached in a city. Mark that. Jesus preached in a certain city. They did not receive Jesus' preaching. And when they did not receive him, the disciples were like, what? A whole you? They did not receive your preaching. Call down fire to kill them. They don't deserve to live. And what did Jesus reply to the disciples and say? The Bible said he looked at them and rebuked them. Meaning keep quiet, probably. And I said, do you not know the manner of spirit that you have? You see that? Meaning that even though that happened in the Old Testament, it's not supposed to happen in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we have received of his fullness, grace upon grace. We understand better in the New Testament. Do you people understand what I'm trying to say? It's not like they were in falsehood, all right? Entirely. No, but they knew God in a measure. And if you know something in a measure, you cannot really explore its fullness, its full potential. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? So a lot of things in the Old Testament were just mere assumptions. Alright? Take for instance what Jesus said. He said, Moses told you this because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning it was not so. You see, Moses had to bend for them. Alright? A lot of times Moses had to compromise for them because they were stubborn. But Jesus said, I will not bend. You can't bend the truth. You only bend to the truth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And of course, Moses had to compromise because probably he didn't understand the truth in fullness. Yes, that's what the Bible said. Jesus said, before I came, no man had seen God. If Jesus said no man has seen God, he never said no man except Moses. Moses never saw God. That's what the Bible said. He said, show me your face. God said, if I show you, you'll die. Meaning, he didn't see God because he still lived. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? You know, I heard someone said, and why I have to negate this now is because of what I just said. Because some of you would have heard it. If we're not on in a Facebook age or social media age, there are a lot of things you will never hear me talk about. But we're in an age where you just finish teaching. Somebody will just go to Facebook and see something that may negate what he just said. So you as a pastor now, when you hear that, your mind is doing bo-bo-bo, you don't want somebody to go and start believing that kind of thing. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Talking about this Moses' experience, somebody I heard said, the back of God that Moses saw was not a back, it was a dimension of his face. He said, because God has four faces. And I'm glad you are reacting like this. There's a lot of joy in my heart. You know why? Because you would not believe that. Thank you, Jesus. But maybe for the one person that believed it, who is even surprised people are doing it. Because probably he has preached it too. So you see, we're not trying to mock the person now. Thank God for the revelation he had, but he's wrong. According to the Bible, whether he preaches it on AIT, he's wrong. Or CNN, he's still wrong. God doesn't. Where in the Bible did God told us that I have four faces? Four faces. Question I want to ask you people is an English question. When I say four now, do I need to say faces? Where is you know, I know some of you are surprised at my question. I'm trying to just understand better. Do I still need to say four faces? Because the four now talks about the number of the face. So do I need to make it sound plural? Sorry. You know, it's very hard to believe that you teach English. Because I know you very well. I don't know when this is already teaching English. Amen. Not that I've heard him speak bad English, but he doesn't like to talk about English. When he hears English, he will run away. So I now heard he's teaching English. He's very good with English. You very good with English? He's laughing. He's an English teacher. Just that I believe linguists owe more, because linguists sounds very better than Pastor Anne and all of them. Pastor Anne's English is in sound. You ain't supposed to be like that. Then she will not throw bomb. Then linguists will not correct her. It's not like that, Pastor Anne. Yes, he will not mention the problem she has and correct her. This is not spiritual thing, it's English. The rise of linguists in this church was my salvation. You will not understand. That time, if I'm preaching, Pastor Simon will be looking at me like this. I think she was catching this thing. She was not catching. She was like, oh, Pastor Simon just said something that is wrong in English. You are not focused on the preaching. Then God now rose linguist. She now became humble. She'll be talking when she just see linguist. She'll just... Hallelujah to Jesus. Okay, so I can use faces, right? Alright, so where in scripture did we see that God said four faces? Anywhere in the Bible? There's no place. Why the indiscipline now? You know, we read on Sunday that even if an angel, Paul speaking, comes with another gospel anti what you've been taught, what should you do to the angel? You are cursed. Get out. That is why I said we as a people that are worded, that know Jesus, we are not lobbying for an encounter. We are not curious for an encounter. You know, you just pray in the spirit and allow encounters to just happen by will. Get what I'm trying to say? Remember the experience of Jacob. I use that to explain to you people. If you are lobbying or looking for an encounter or curious, you will have an encounter indeed. That will take you outside of it. Hope you know everybody, the Buddhists, the Muslims, a lot of religious people, they all had an encounter that bettered their religion. Hope you know. You'll be saying what useless. They had spiritual encounters. The man who had it can die for that encounter he had. Are you able to get out and try and explain to you? Glory to God. And why someone was arising and saying Christianity is turning into a religion, is because some people are rising up and are deviating a little bit from Christianity. They are inside Christianity, but a branch of Christianity. Not practicing solely what the scripture says. You hear somebody say, I had an encounter, a woman appeared to me and gave me this and said I should be praying it like this. You now ask them, where is it in the Bible? They'll say, it doesn't matter. They had an encounter. That's what they are holding there. So Paul said, even if an angel comes with another gospel, tell him to get away. Get out in the name of Jesus. But they never read that part of scripture. There are a lot of them today rising that they had an encounter. And it's falsehood. And you see, as I'm talking about truth now, listen carefully. There's a little religious false. Should I say emotionality? Or move of the devil. It's kind of covered or cascaded within emotion. Thick emotion. Now, you see, yeah, sentiment probably. You see somebody standing up and he's being emotional. Said, we are not supposed to be fighting against each other in the body of Christ. If somebody believes something, just accept it. We are all one. This is a demon speaking. Listen carefully. A lamb, a wolf in what? Sheep clothing. Now, how can you tell me to accept what is not in the Bible in an emotional way? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You may sound emotional, but you are very wrong. No matter how my dad is crying, atomicity is not the number of atoms in a city. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. Then somebody comes and says, is your dad, whatever he says, is right. You are all one blood. Yes, we are one blood. You people are one spirit. Yes, we are one spirit, sir. Atomicity accepts it like that. It is his own revelation that God gave him. God cannot give him that revelation. It's only in religion that we begin to work with this false mindset. Okay, if it's like that, allow me to have my... Pass everybody in exam in school. You told me to define atomicity. I define my own the way my spirit understands it. You now fail me that I'm wrong. Why not allow my own? But you are still sure I'm wrong. No matter my tribe, whether I'm from the same tribe with you, I'm wrong. Whether we are from the same religion, I'm still wrong. That's how it is in this kingdom. Is it because a little misunderstanding of God's truth can cause you to walk in a lifetime of destruction, error, destruction? Little. Blessed Kenneth Hagin said this while alive. He said that 99% truth, 1% lie makes the whole truth a lie. Listen carefully. How many of you know maths here? You all did maths. You understand mathematics. If you miss minus, you have missed everything. Am I lying? If at a point, instead of putting plus, you now misunderstood it and put minus, your whole answer will be wrong. You understand it to a point. And you know, if a teacher wants to be, some mathematics teacher that want to encourage you will mark the process. They'll mark one side, mark another side, mark the source, they'll now fail the other side. The ones that think that you are supposed to be out to, you know, at some point in school, some of our teachers will be marking, they'll be helping us, encouraging us. So you see it and see where you made a mistake. But when you want to write jam, some of them will say, now it's time, you want to write YEC, I will not be marking like that again. You think they are being wicked, they are helping you. Because if they keep on marking like that, you'll be comfortable. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So you just bring in, let's say you are writing your mock now. You just write and you try. You just see, pia, F9. You don't be like, this teacher is wicked. You are beefing the teacher. But he's helping you. He's not even showing you where you missed it again. He just put you F9. Why? He wants you to start taking responsibility and not make those little mistakes. Because while writing jam or YEC, they don't care where you got the, where the mind was worse. Or you miss the plus. If you fail, you have what? Failed. Especially in objective. Who will mark? That's why some of us will say we prefer AC than OBJ. Is it not true? And some people will say, Pastor, you don't know what you're saying. If it's OBJ, if you have failed, you have failed. But if it's AC, some teachers will say, the guy have an idea and give you something. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Those that don't like OBJ are the ones that are actually cheating exam, from my own estimation, from my own analysis. Because they just want to see, what's the answer? B. C. But if you truly know what you are doing, you prefer a C. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? No matter what, it is still wrong. You fail. So it is in Christendom. If you miss a little thing, you know, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Even if you miss it, He can still show Himself strong in your life. Do you know that? Let me show you. What I mean is that God will not leave you suffering and about to die because you misunderstood something in Scripture if you have a sincere heart. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Moses made a mistake in Scripture out of anger. The people made him to be angry. So the anger now went towards God. You know, a lot of times, people that make you angry are not the ones that suffer the consequences of that anger. It's the people that are just coming into your life that will suffer it. For instance, a lady that they broke her heart, the next boy that will date her is the one that will suffer it. The one that broke her heart will not suffer anything. This one now, if you just smile with a lady, she will say, stop that, I hate that rubbish. If you just say bye-bye to a lady, she'll say, God will punish you. I'm breaking up today. So, the one that left is not the one that will suffer. It's the one that just entered. That word, suffer it. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Moses now misunderstood God. Sorry, he made a mistake. Because of the anger of the people. They made him so angry. They were not appreciative. They were murmuring in the wilderness. Look at a man that left. The Bible says by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He left everything he had. Good food, good house, plenty money. Plenty money and privileges. He left it by faith. You know, some people, by faith I received my gold. Moses did not left his gold by faith. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? You know, this today Christianity, they don't leave riches by faith. They only receive riches by faith. It's to collect, not to give. Moses left. He said, Bible says, he refused to be called, Hebrews 11, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh by faith. We'll do a very rhetorical study on Hebrews 11 very, very soon. He said, by faith, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He left everything. He now accepted God's call to lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness into what? The promised land. And I told you before, I can tell you and beat my chest why God chose Moses. It would have never been any of the Israelites. They were comfortable. They were very comfortable. God cannot carry anybody in America now who is from Benue State and come and teach them the reason why that the person should come and teach a topic. Listen to the topic the person will teach. The reason why he should not japa. God cannot carry anybody in America from Benue State and say he should come back and teach the reason why he should not japa. I don't know that you will catch what I'm trying to say. He will never teach such a thing. He will not, even if he's teaching it, it will not be from truth. God will have to look for somebody in Benue who is seeing no reason to japa to teach that truth. I don't know that you people are catching what I'm trying to explain. Or how should I even put it? Let's say he's even in America and he has seen money and he has seen that it is even possible that I can make same money. Well, let's just leave it at the first. The second one will not enter. Moses was in money. He's an Israelite, but he was in money. Son of who? Pharaoh. He had touched money. He had seen privileges. He didn't have a poverty mindset. These people were slaves in Egypt. Israelite for several years. How many years, people of God? Yeah, I just said several years. How many years? For what? Now, if you look at the promise, it was not supposed to be 430 years that they were supposed to leave Egypt. Hope you know. It was supposed to be how many years? 400. Why did it add up to 30? The first time Moses came, they rejected it. That one will teach it when we're talking about dishonor. How you can promote, elongate your wilderness by dishonor. It is very, very possible. They told Moses, who made you a judge after a ruler over us? The guy ran for his life. Came back again after several years. And God released them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Even Jesus left a city out of dishonor. They dishonored him. His own hometown. He went to everywhere. There was no sea finish there. He performed miracles. He now came to the place they burned him. He wanted to show some. Power was not flowing. People were just coming and observing him. Jesus. It don't be Jesus with his Mary became. But Joseph became with the heat wood. Not Jesus. My guy. You know, I saw something on my, I posted something. So somebody, I know someone of my classmates, he came to the comment section. I don't know if some of you observed it. People were like, "Prophet, I celebrate you, sir. Celebrate you." He now entered the comment section. My guy. How far? So when I saw it, I started laughing. I was showing my teeth. I started laughing. I didn't want to reply my guy on the comment section. So I messaged him. I said, "My guy, how you doing?" Because it would have been strange on the comment section. You see, everybody was like, "Prophet, I celebrate you." He just came. He didn't care about any protocol. My guy, where? How you doing now? Long time. He didn't care the sad people were saying. There's a way he knew me. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That one is special between me. He knew me somewhere. We sat down somewhere. We played somewhere. So I can be your prophet, but I am his guy. So probably that is how it was in the days of Jesus. Jesus is coming from so many places. Where the man of God, sir, we celebrate you. Healing was breaking out. A woman will say, "If I can touch the hem of his garment." Helmo, look at the kind of glory he had and honor. But when he came to his hometown, even the hem of his garment, they spoke against it. Everything. Jesus wearing suit. When Jesus start wearing suit? Say, Jesus don't turn pastor. Jesus, yesterday we were the playboy. I know if you ever call this guy pastor, now my guy. You know, many years ago in the barracks, we were playing football. Good friends, you know. One day, God just hit me. God! Me too, I was following them. We're going everywhere. In fact, when they are going to ask this out, I used to escort. I was really a mumu when I was younger. I would just be escorting everybody. And I was not doing anything but escorts. I will escort. If I tell you the kind of escort I've done in my life, some of you will not believe. I've even stand at the door. Oh my God. The Lord give you understanding. You will not understand. You know. I've escorted. Say, tell the person I escorted, say, "I'm mumu." I'm not joking. He said, "You be mumu, mumu." People will be liking you, be doing like mumu. See this girl now. She was walking, at her back. He said, "Look at somebody, look at this creature. Take advantage, mumu." See, I wish I'd be you. That's what he was telling me. And I was escorting him. And he wanted me to be friends with the lady he was going to meet, friend. He said, "She don't give you green eye, mumu. Now we're going to leave you naughty, you go feed you, mumu." That's how I escorted. And I got embarrassed for escorting, insulted for escorting. Amen. So I had this set of friends who would go to the field, say a lot of stupid things and etc. And one time I became born again. Boom! So when I see them, I will not talk those kind of things. They will not observe that I'm greeting them specially. Instead of saying, "Mumu, how far?" I'm like, "Hi, how you doing? Blessings, glory to God. You know, how are you? How was your night?" And I was speaking English to make it worse. So they were not understanding me. One pushed me and said, what did they worry this one? You know? The first person that negated me was my junior sister, the one following me. I came back, and when I became born again, I wanted to be speaking English alone. So when I spoke, I beg, which kind of rubbish is this one? I said, what's that? Who did they speak English for? I never knew speaking English was a crime. I beg, if you want to talk to me, don't talk that rubbish. I beg, we talk like people where you know each other. I had to start respecting myself because she was the one that would serve food. So if I speak English, she will not understand what I'm saying. So I put the food well. Did you get that? Oh, there, Jesus. I remember when I passed them, Kai, I suffered. People don't become born again. Now, wait, they'll be asking the question when I'm passing. They will not talk about me. As I'm passing, you say, "Papilo, don't become born again." Jesus, are they saying, "Papilo, you don't become born again." Hey! They will laugh. So I'll be running sharp to pass this. Oh my God. I suffered in there. In fact, there was a time I almost came back to my normal life. Because I couldn't take it anymore. There was a time I almost said, "I beg, when I forget that, I'll not be born again, I beg. I had to just keep on listening until I heard a man of God that boosted my faith. One time they said, they wanted to mock. I said, yes, I'm born again. They now got tired because I was accepting everything they are saying. I didn't stop there. I started preaching to them. Followed them to their house. One by one, not in group because I will be finished. One by one. When I observed this one, I was going home, I'll follow him. Preach to him. They were surprised. The prophetic would break out. I'll start telling them about their life. I started leading them to Christ. It was so obvious. You know, the Bible says you have to prove your call by doing the work of an evangelist. To a point, I enter where they watch football, where I will be arguing and paying for people to watch football. The day I left Man U, I remember, that was the last time I watched football. A Champions League final. I will never forget. I paid for more than 10 people to come and watch how we finished the opposite team. We sat down and Man U lost. That was the last day I stopped supporting. I will tell people why I stopped supporting Man U. Since that day, I stopped following Man U. Till today, I will never support Man U. I don't wish Man U well in anything. I don't wish them well. And one person that is praying for Man U's downfall, as I'm talking to people like this, especially when Ronaldo now left them. I don't have... You know, when Ronaldo came, I now said, let me peep and see what they are doing. When they drove him, I said, let's even go and leave these foolish people. Nothing can... Amen. That was the last time I went to a view center and watched football. Thank God, God now called me after the decision. So that was the end. I'm not joking. I will go there before the start match. I'll be preaching where I always... My mother will say, if it's not at home, go to snooker board. I'm always there playing snooker. That's where God now was pushing me to preach. I will preach, be shouting in the view center, receive Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, what I'm trying to say is, immediately I became born again, they became my greatest reproach, the people that were close to me. That's how it was in the days of Jesus. When he came to where he was giving birth to, they were not receiving the word. Even the miraculous that was happening so easy was not happening again. The Bible says he couldn't perform many miracles, but only some few. Some few. Meaning Jesus was looking at people like this. I'm sure he didn't even lay hands. I'm sure he didn't lay hands. Because I'm not sure Jesus would lay hands. I'm sure Jesus will respect himself now. He's Jesus. You can see that the thing will not work. You now still lay your hands for it to work. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? There are people that have not laid. Let me not try to go there. We've had cases here where we see somebody who is suffering from something. I had to say they should call the person. I now sent a pastor to interview the guy very well. The guy was now telling us why he's not healed. That's why we knew what the problem was. When I saw the person, I thought we should lay hands on the eyes to open. I now had to send a pastor. The person knows why he's not healed. You know, there's a big problem there that you know why you are not healed. There is one demon from their father's side that did it, and every time that is why he is not hitting now. So in my mind, I said, the day I called you to pray for you, as I was trying to pray for you, you were seeing why you are not healed. And me, I'm trying to pray for you. Many years ago, I was trying to pray for some people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was this certain lady that was not receiving it. Many years ago, I remember two of these top psalmists, you will know, were there in that meeting. So I prayed for them and they were filled. And the lady was not receiving. I was in my, it's one of my friend's church. I was not doing a Sunday service that time. So he wanted me to just pray for them and the rest. And everybody was looking at me one kind of eye as if I've lost it. I didn't like it too. Everybody, at least four people were filled, but this one, some people were like, his anointing did not reach for this one. I'm just trying to interpret the kind of look they were. Everybody was, he was almost done. He began to even wait for me. I said, God, what is happening in this place? Is this how I came to this church for you to disgrace me? Then the Holy Spirit said, talk to her. So I said, everybody should calm down. I said, young lady, I've been praying for everybody. They are filled. I was telling her my problem. Everybody are filled with the Spirit. What of you? Why are you not being filled with the Holy Spirit? I asked her why she's not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because I felt like she knows the answer. Do you know what she told me? I don't believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't believe in praying in tongues. I said, oh God, I am praying for somebody that doesn't believe in what I'm doing. How will it work? And I say, why? Inside the prayer, inside the church, we're talking. I say, why now? Everybody's supposed to have different gifts. I said, no. You know, and I started explaining. Under 2 minutes, the Lord gave me utterance. She said, oh, really? I said, yes. I said, oh, what are we waiting for? Oh, yeah, now. She raised her hand. As I laid my hand, she got filled as I prayed in the spirit. Imagine I never asked her. So that does literally ignorance can cause a negation and dishonor. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And how do you show dishonor? Dishonor is not obvious yet. You may be showing dishonor in your subconscious yet. For instance, pastors say, win 10 souls under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So you felt like a man spoke to you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you neglected. Now, it's not like you dishonor the pastor. Obviously, you don't dishonor the pastor. But you neglected the instruction. It's more than 2 years now, you have not won 3 souls. And pastor said, in 1 month, try and win 10 souls. God wants to strengthen your faith. So yes, I celebrate. In fact, you sowed seed. You sowed seed later to show you don't dishonor the pastor. But you neglected the instruction the pastor what gave you. Do you know? The Bible said obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. Because that instruction he gave is not really to make him better, but to make you better. It's for your own good. It is supposed to be the next step to your growth that will cause a new day in your life, probably. And you neglected. So since you dishonored, you refused to follow that instruction, you didn't even grow. Because probably while you were taking that time to go for evangelism, you now know you are not a Christian. There are some people that knew the level of their fire when they went for evangelism. They knew the level of their fire. You thought you were in church. You now go out there and somebody asks you one question. You can't answer. You have to now run back to your Bible. Some they go. They are praying. Oh, they are praying. They think they have anointing, which they truly have. Oh, it may they see a case, the anointing just flares up. It just disappears from their body. They just see somebody epileptic. And I say, you say Jesus can heal? They say, yes, sir. He can heal. I say, okay, this is my boy. He has been sick since from birth. Let me bring him for you, sir. They now bring the boy. He's like in bedside. You see some people begin to explain. When there's no power, you explain tire. Sometimes the root word for epilepsy is epilepsia. There's a way that thing can happen to you. You go back home and say, God, please, I thought I had this thing. Help me. And the Lord will start saying, out of your belly, press. There's something there. Press. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So Jesus could not do a lot. But I was going somewhere before I even bent here. That Moses, because of the anger of the people, instead of hit the rock, because what the Lord meant there is that he should speak to it. And speaking to it according to scripture was hitting it at once. So it's just like you have cows. How many of you have trained cows or goats before? Specifically cows. You've had the privilege to just train cows. How many of you? You led them back home or something. There's a way you hit them that they just understand. Huh? How many of you know how to ride horses? You know how to ride a horse? You know how to ride a horse? Are you okay, Pastor Blessing? Who knows how to ride a horse here? Say you know. I'm not talking by faith. You know how to ride a horse. I'll ask you a question as I'm asking you this. You know how to ride a horse. Stand up. If you miss this answer, I'll deal with you. You know how to ride a horse. Please, who truly knows how to ride a horse here? So all of you are lying here. Stand up. I say you can ride a horse. Stand up. You say you sit down. Come. How do you control the horse? Yes. Connected where? To the mount. So if you want it to shift like this, how do you do? No, just do your hand. I will understand what that you know. I say if you want it to shift like this. Okay, then it now shift. Okay. If you want it to stop, what will you do? Hold it back. Okay. I think you know. You can sit down. Amen. Well, let's be serious. If you move like this, the horse will know you are speaking to it to turn to this direction. If you move the rope like this, because from the mouth, I think the book of James explains that you lead the horse by his what? Mouth. Isn't it? Huh? Making us understand that we are perfect by our words. Something like that, isn't it? In the book of James. So that's how it is. Moses was supposed to speak to the rock by hitting it. You know, some people argue, Moses spoke to it, he hit it. No, they are the same thing. The speaking was hitting it. Just like when you shift the horse like this, you are actually speaking to it to turn in this direction. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? But Moses now hit the rock twice, not according to what the Lord told him. What happened? Did water come out? Why did water come out? Was it because Moses was right? It was because God knew that the people needed what? Water. So what I was trying to say is that your misunderstanding of God's word at some point will not cause God to remove his hand upon your life. He will still bring provision. It doesn't mean that your revelation is right. Because his course is bigger than your course. He came for a kingdom. No, he didn't come for you to have a house. Are you people getting on trying to explain to you? So that he gave you a house does not mean that you should neglect scripture. You should neglect the truth of his word. That's what some people say, I have resort. You ask them, what is your resort? They'll begin to mention house, car. That's a baby Christian speaking. Because the Bible says the worth of a man's life does not consist in what? The abundance of things that a word has. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, for instance, let's see what scripture said in the book of 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. See the peace we had today's service, in today's service. Because somebody is sleeping. Majority is sleeping. 2 Corinthians 3 from verse 9. He said, if the ministry, can we have in a TPT rendition? Don't worry, when we're done, I'll give you the theme of the service. I know some of you are saying what theme. I hope you have not written theme. Because that theme is Sunday theme. I don't want to spoil it for today. I'll prepare more for, I'll tell you today's theme, eh? For if the former ministry of condemnation was ushered in with a measure of glory. Oh, I love this rendition. If the former ministry of what? Was now, observe that the ministry was a ministry of condemnation. What it means is that the ministry was not really the way God wants it to be. Hebrews 7:8, that scripture that I like to explain most of the time, that says, if the first order had no fault, there will be no need for another. 8:7. Let's see it very fast. Same TPT. I hope you are enjoying tonight. Yes, sir. Let's read one to go. For if that first covenant had been what? No one would have needed a second one to what? Replace it. Meaning the first one had a fault. Are you seeing? That's what it means for it to be a ministry of condemnation. It was not a proper ministry. Are we together? Because the Bible even said Jesus never was delighted in sacrifices of goats, and he was never delighted in all of those things. They were just supposed to work as a schoolmaster until the time of what? Reformation, that Christ will find expression upon the face of the earth, isn't it? So when Christ came, the Bible says Christ's coming was the end of their practices, the end of the law and all of his practice. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Because when Jesus came now, there was no need to kill a lamb because he's the lamb that takes away the sins. As Jesus came, was dead, buried, and resurrected, nobody needs to get into water because if anybody be in Christ, is a new. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go back to where we were. It said, but if the first order of ministry, which is a ministry of condemnation, had some measure of glory. You see, it was a ministry of condemnation, but it had what? Some measure of glory. 2 Corinthians 3:9. Go back there. It had some measure of glory. It says the ministry of the righteous excess in glory. All right. Thank you. It said the ministry of the righteous excels in glory. I observe he's following me, so I want to just stand. Glory to God forevermore. Now, how much more does a ministry that imparts righteousness far excel in glory? Next part of scripture. What once was glorious no longer holds any glory because of the increasing greater glory that has replaced it. You see that? The greater glory in Christ. You know, I like people sometimes saying, I've seen people, sorry, sometimes saying, in the New Testament, the glory is not necessarily an intensity of power, which is right. But don't allow it cloud your head that there's no power in the New Testament. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, the emphasis is not power, but there's a greater power in the New Testament. Yet the emphasis is not power. Because if the emphasis was power, we would try to do better than the Old Testament guys. There was a lot of power shown in the Old Testament. They broke the law of obtrus, for goodness sake. The Bible said the Red Sea was divided into two, and men walked on it as if it was dry ground. Isn't it? Now, should we go and try and prove something now in River Benue? That the New Testament is greater. Why in the New Testament? Now watch everybody. Benue River, where is my rod? Repako Shaba. Rujibai. It will not work. You know why it will not work? You don't prove the New Testament by power. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? No. Because God is not moving because you did what was right in the Old Testament. The Old Testament was a condemned ministry, yet the Bible said there was a measure of glory. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Moses did not do the right thing. Water came out for people to drink. Maybe they would have said, wow, is this how water comes out? And the next time, they will follow the ways of Moses. The other day, Moses, he carried his rod. He hit a rock twice. Do not create a religion. And start praying, oh Lord of water, bring water. Because they saw it. Remember I spoke about models. They saw it. I feel like one of their disappointments was that maybe when they tried everything Moses did, he didn't bring the results they were expecting. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? Thank you, Holy Spirit. So, according to the limitation of their knowledge, you even hear the Bible says something like this. Moses knew God's ways, something like that. He said, but the people only saw his acts. So, Moses knew that what I did was wrong. But God allowed water to come out because of his mercy. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? The people may look at it now and think, okay, this is how to bring about water. For instance, it's unbelievable that in our generation today, there are people that are washing their feet in a New Testament church. They wash their feet. I'm not trying to mock. They wash their feet. In other words, they didn't believe what Jesus meant for when he said, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? New creation. So probably when they got into Christ, probably he didn't take over their feet. And they felt like we need to cover that part of our feet. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's wrong. It doesn't mean we're insulting the people. Remember how we started. But it is still what? Wrong. Why? A younger generation are watching and saying, wow, I love the results of these great men of God. And I want to follow their path. Not knowing that some of the path is not exactly the way God said it should be done. Just like with Moses. If you read the scripture, there was a younger prophet who was led astray by another prophet, an elder, older prophet. Remember the story? What happened? God did not now blame the elder prophet and say, you, blah, blah, blah. He blamed the younger prophet. He said, I told you something. You went and met somebody because he's an elder than you. You follow what he said. God blamed the younger prophet. He was punished. Remember Micaiah and Hezekiah? Can you remember that story? Rehob Gileb. He wanted to go and take over the land. Micaiah was a younger prophet, isn't it? And Hezekiah was the older one. Zedekiah, yes, is the older one. The chief of prophets, more like a bishop in those days. And Micaiah, a younger prophet, he had so much alignment with God. He knew, he was not compromised. He was not close to politicians. Sorry, he was not close to the king. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? His heart was not compromised at all. Because he had no political friend. Sorry, a king as a friend. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And one time, the king wanted to go and take over a land that was not his own. He wanted to take over a land that was not his own. And he now was inquiring from the prophet. All of them said, do it. But you know, when people are using you, they will know they are using you.
You see, some of these politicians, they know fake prophet more than us that are seated here. They know fake prophets. A prophet, I remember they said there's a politician that has pastors praying for him to win an election. That he had, they have been praying for him for several years. He did not even get tickets to come for any party. But pastors have been praying. I wonder where those pastors are now, because they would have run for their life. He was paying them to pray. They were wasting our tongues in a liar's house. And the man was probably womanizing and doing all the rubbish. They were praying. God forbid, but you will never become such a man of God in the name of Jesus. Their God have become their belly. Such a big shame. Amen? Remember when there was a time in Nigeria that APC had bishops gathered. Can you remember? They came. They sat down. They were in one accord. That was their leader. They said God told them. Bishops. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the king said, I want to take over it. And the prophet said, Zedekiah, he said, go king, the Lord is with you. Go, take it at once. And this young man, Micaiah, who was being trained by the hand of the Lord specially, the king now said to him, he said, I feel you have a word for me, Micaiah. Especially, I feel you have a word for me. And the king inquired from Micaiah. Micaiah said, it's not your land. It's another person's land. And God is not in support of that. Leave it. If you go there, you will die. They will win you. Because the hand of the Lord is with them. Micaiah came back. The king came back, was very angry. How will this prophet prophesy that kind of thing? Blah, blah, blah. He was very angry. Remember, there was a prophet that prophesied, and after a while, he's in prison. Do people get that? Just like a prophet prophesied, and after I prophesied, they went and tried to do so. And the guy is in prison right now. But he will come out in the name of Jesus. That is how the devil can make you look so foolish because of pride. You come to a point that recently I heard the person saying that water is not flowing from our bellies. That it is not out of our belly that rivers of living water flow. That it is Jesus that water is flowing from and entering our own belly. How? Something that is stated clearly in John 4. Jesus speaking that out of your belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. Signifying that rivers by the Holy Spirit. In the book of Psalms, they said, when the enemy tries to come against you, he said, like a flood, the Spirit of God from your inside will what? Raise a standard against him. How can somebody come to that point that will deny this kind of fact? What is he now practicing as Christianity? Why? Because, you see, when you like chasing cloud, or should I say crowd, you like what people are saying about you, you like testimony of men, that is how your life will become. Even Jesus did not have a good testimony before everybody in the face of the earth. Not everybody liked him. He was hated without a cause, the Bible said. But you want everybody to be excited about you. Some things that are obviously stated in scriptures that they are true, you are not standing against it because many of you will not understand that many years ago you had a problem with somebody. Many years ago. Hallelujah to Jesus. Am I standing for against everybody? You know, somehow I was telling a friend of mine that we're in a prophetic season. I said to him that somehow God is causing a shaking, or is allowing for a shaking. The Bible said there's no temptation that has ever come to us beyond our ability to overcome. I believe this season God allowed everything to be happening because he wants to cause a shaking in his church. The Bible said in the last days, the Bible said in Hebrews 12, it said there will not only be a shaking in the heavens, but a shaking on the earth too, so that the things which are not eternal will be removed. So I believe that the reaction from both ends is causing people to be more stabilized. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Because if you look at it critically, it's not like everything the person is saying against these people is not true. Some of the things are true. Yes. Obviously, for instance, how can you imagine somebody selling stones? Listen to me carefully, so that you don't fall into the ocean of this season that the devil is trying to create. This is how to judge it. How can somebody sell stones? The stone that killed Goliath. How can somebody sell, I can't even really explain, the key of David. Somebody said he's selling junks. And people, perfume and the rest that will cause you to prosper, perfume of favor, things like that. And you expect nobody to speak against it. If that person had not even spoken against it, I would have spoken against it. It's the truth, because it's wrong. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you see that both ends are causing a shaking in the church. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There are some people now that codedly went and removed their doctrines and threw away and stopped practicing it. They don't want anybody to look at them. I was talking with a friend. I said, if you don't know the Bible, you can't come on Facebook this season. You can't talk on Facebook. Because if they catch you, you can't talk anyhow. This season, people are just... In fact, on Sunday, before they preach, there is no season that pastors have checked their Bible like this season. Go online on Sunday. Come and see proper exegesis. Very proper. Now there's root word. People are going into proper exegesis. God is cleaning his church. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So it's a prophetic season. Don't become a victim. As you now, you are standing for Apollos or for Paul. Mm-mm. Just watch what the Spirit is doing and enjoy the benefit of the season. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Very important. Don't fall a victim. You know, some of you, this is your best season. You don't reply. Hey, whoa, make I see the reply. Don't fall a victim. They say, don't reply that one. My guy, don't reply. Oh, some women put it on their TV screen. Wow. This guy, they pepper people. You know, some people that like amebo. Are you here tonight? We're going somewhere, isn't it? Now, read the next part of scripture. The fading ministry came with a portion of glory, but now we embrace the unfading ministry of a permanent impartation of what? Glory. Next part of scripture. You see, portion of glory, isn't it? Red Sea parted, you know the glory, right? A lot of things happened. A prophet who commanded fire, still commanded wolves to come out from the bush and eat some certain children. And yet, it was happening, you know. All of this power of God was being displayed through that man of God. Isn't it? Are you people here tonight? You know, sometimes I'm scared of talking some things not to confuse you. But the kingdom age did not start now. It was progressive from the Old Testament. More like the... You know, they are trying to... It was not initiated. It has not started yet. But it was like knocking at the verge of trying to start. The book of Revelation explained the age bit by bit. How they tried to come into the kingdom age till when the kingdom age found expression. Or was activated till the aftermath, a little bit aftermath of the kingdom age. Are you people here tonight? You observe that the book of Revelation spoke about Moses. The book of Revelation spoke about Egypt. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? You know, some people are saying there are two prophets that will come to this world. They have already come. They are not coming. So it was trying to explain the kingdom age from how it was almost trying to find expression through the Old Testament to what? The New Testament. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Till when it even was activated in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. You can see if the Holy Spirit explained to John what happened at the back end of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. How that around that season there was an angel crying in the realm of the Spirit, who is worthy to what? Break the scroll and open his seven seals, and none was found in heavens and the earth. And one of the elders spoke to to John crying. He said, do not cry for the lion of the tribe of Judah at what? Prevail. He said, when he turned to see the lion, he saw a lamb standing as if it was what? Now, I now told people, if John the Revelator will cry, it simply means that John never knew what happened in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He never knew. Because if he knew what Jesus achieved in his death, burial, and resurrection, if they were saying in heaven, who is worthy to break the scroll? He would say, Jesus broke it now. He died in my front. But he didn't know. So when he turned to see the lion of the tribe, he wanted to see a lion. He wanted to see how the victory came. He now saw the lamb. That's when he remembered it was Jesus that has taken away what? The sins of... That's Jesus' brother being surprised in a vision. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? You know, sometimes when we read the Bible, we think these people are just flying in the spirit. The way chance and time happens to some of us, that's how it happened to them. Some of you can remember the moment you started understanding the truth of God's word. It didn't just happen all of a sudden, isn't it? That's how it happened. It was progressive. In the book of Acts 1, Immediately after Jesus resurrected and taught them for 40 days, teaching them of the kingdom. The Bible says when he was done teaching them of the kingdom, for how many days? Somebody had the impetus to say, when will the kingdom come? How will the kingdom come? Can you imagine? Tell us what time it will come. He just taught them for how many days? 40 days. You may be about, what kind of blockhead is this one now? Then immediately after that, Master, what time? And Jesus looked at them and said, Jesus was not disappointed. He said, forget the time and the hour. Just wait in Jerusalem. Don't come out till you are filled with the Holy Spirit. Then become my witnesses in everywhere. Hallelujah to Jesus. Somebody said, Pastor Simon, can we tell when the kingdom, the parousia will happen? You know, the parousia will certainly happen. Huh? Somebody now said, how will the parousia happen? I said, I don't know exactly how the parousia will be. I don't know when the parousia happens. We just see one bright light and something. I don't know. How can I know? Hallelujah to Jesus. But I can tell you, give you an idea of how the parousia will be. You know, some part of scripture, some light in scripture will not actually tell you exactly how an event will be. It will work more like a signpost. Are you people getting out and trying to explain? For instance, they believe that the rapture is a very quiet thing. But according to scripture, there's a blast of the last trumpet. So it's not quiet. It's glorious. I don't know what other people are getting what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying, talking about, I say they misunderstand the rapture for the second coming. But for the people that believe that the rapture is a quiet, the Savior coming like a thief in the night, the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 makes them to understand that it's not actually a quiet return. It's not a quiet event. The Bible said there will be a blast of the last trumpet. So for some of them that said it will be quiet now, that trumpet scatters everything. It's not quiet. I don't know why people are getting on trying to explain. That's one way to negate the ideology. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you getting confused? One of the ways I knew that the rapture was a false doctrine was this. They said the root word is rapizo, yes. And it's gotten from a Latin word, not directly from the root in Greek. So they said the places the word was mentioned in scripture was Matthew 24:37, isn't it? And I gave you one new one, Luke. The rendition in Luke. Luke what? People are forgetting. Luke 17 verse what? The last part of scripture of Luke. Let's see it again. We're going somewhere. I've not forgotten. What's the time? Okay, I should end now. Let me try to end. There'll be two women working together at household duties. One will be what? While the other will be what? This one is even a stronger rendition. It's even clear. Let's do the one that is not. Give me the next part of scripture first before we go to NKJV. His apostles asked, Lord, where will the judgment happen? Jesus responded, it will be obvious. For wherever there are those spiritually dead, there you will find the eagles circling. Huh? Are you here? This is a rendition in Luke. You know, how many of you do CRS? They'll say the account of Matthew, the account of Luke, Mark's account. So Matthew 24, where they say two will be in the field, one will be left. The Bible is now telling us in Luke's account that the interpretation, it can be said in another way like this. That one will be taken. He said, the one that is taken is the one that is dead. Go back to 36. Go back to 36. There will be two women working together at the household duties. One will be what? Suddenly slept away. Why the other will be left alive? So if they say the other will be left alive, what happened to the one that was swept away? She died. So the ones that will live are the ones that are dead. If this is a scripture for the rapture. I know now they should have removed this scripture from the rapture. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't add up. Pastor Simon, why are you confusing us? This is what the Bible was saying in Matthew 24:37. He said, the Bible, the focal point of scripture, go back there for us. You know, sometimes you people think I'm trying to cause trouble. I'm not. I just respect scripture. Therefore, it will be exactly like it was in the days of Noah, when the Son of Man appears. You know, the second coming, sometimes some part of scripture call it the appearing of the Christ. Some said the second coming. For instance, see the NKJV. Instead of saying the Son of Man appears, it says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be what? The coming. Instead of saying the appearing now. Like Paul said in Philippians, Paul called it the appearing. In another part of scripture, he called it the second coming. I hear people get out and trying to explain to you. Now go back to the TPT rendition. So what is the focal point now? This part of scripture is talking about the second coming of Christ, not about the rapture. Are you seeing it with your eyes? Did he say the rapture here or the second coming? So I said, I believe in the second coming. I don't believe in the rapture. Because it's not in the Bible. Next part of scripture. This is not my focal point too, but I just want to touch it. Is it before the flood, people live their lives eating what? Read now. You see, you believe these things. That's why you hate what I'm doing. Read out. Want to go. You see, this one was very, very direct. It took them away in what? Judgment. It will happen the same way when the Son of Man appears. That's part of scripture. Very direct. At that time, two men will be what? One will be what? The other will be what? So the one taken away, what took him away? The judgment. What was the judgment? The flood. Luke's rendition said they died. He said the others will be left alive. Next part of scripture. It says, two women will be grinding grain. One will be taken away in judgment. You know, this one surprised me. Two of them should go because it's amiable they are doing it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It said, one will be taken away in judgment, the other will be left. Maybe the one hearing the gist is the one that will remain. The one saying the gist will be gone. Next part of scripture. 42. It says, this is why you must stay alert, because no one knows the day. Huh? This one now, you see how you people are quiet. Judgment day, judgment day. Just quiet. Stay alert. Fire. Where are you? Why are you not in church? I did not iron my clothes. You will not make it. You will not. When we are established in the kingdom, you will not go be part of us. You will not be part of us. You will still be at home ironing your clothes. Why did you not come to church? Sir, it was very hectic. It's Sunday that I have to rest. Eh? You will not make it. Hallelujah to Jesus. So instead of Luke saying the same way, Luke said, let me expatiate on this thing. Maybe they did not get Matthew. Because maybe a generation will come that will misunderstand Matthew. He said, me, let me scatter the table. Luke now said, I will give my own rendition. Go to Luke, to 35. Let's just hit the nail on the head. He said, there will be what? One will suddenly what? The other will be what? So if this would have acted the film called Left Behind, saw the scripture, they would have not acted it. Because to be left behind is better to not be left behind. I think we'll do a movie, not to be left behind. Did I say it well? To be left behind, sorry, yes. Do a movie, call it To Be Left Behind. Yes. Or we'll answer the question, why you should be left behind. Let's see verse 36. What does it say? It says, his apostles asked, Lord, where will the judgment happen? Jesus responded, it will be obvious, brother. For wherever there are those spiritually dead, there you will find the eagles circling. What would this eagle do? They would take one and leave one. Take another and leave another. Take their spiritually what? Dead. You don't find vultures where there are no dead carcasses. And according to scripture, if you look at the focal point of this scripture, Jesus was speaking speaking to the Pharisees. The church people in his days, he said they will be left behind. Sorry, they will not be left behind. You know, we are used to the left behind, that is why. He said they will not be left behind. He said the carcasses will come out. Jesus cried in this part of scripture, hope you know, this chapter of the Bible. He cried because they negated his teaching. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, why have I longed to gather you? Like a mother hen want to gather her chicks. He said, but you rejected me. He now said this same thing. Where they are what? Spiritually dead beings, eagles will what? Gather. And they proved it. Crucify Jesus. His blood be upon us and our children. They proved it. Wicked. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Are you here tonight? So the kingdom age is such a long time. Long time. And right now we are quite in the overlapping. I think I should leave this for another time. Where were we? Where were we? Let me just say this because it may be a question in somebody's heart. You know, somebody may be asking me, Pastor, there's a body that will happen. Something will happen in the resurrection. In the parousia. There will be something that will happen to us. The Bible said, speaks about a change, isn't it? It said, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. So, Pastor, if you are saying we have a glorious body now, what about that time? I don't know if that question had been in anybody's heart. What about that time? What kind of body will we have that time? And I was answering that question in my spirit at home. The Lord was speaking to me because I asked the question too. I said, Lord, what is the difference between now? Is it that we should keep on living in sin? That is why some people will say, nobody can be righteous till Jesus, till the second coming, when we shall all wear a new body. Yet the Bible is still telling us now in scripture to flee from sin. If fleeing from sin is not a possibility because we have the old body, why is Jesus still telling us to flee from sin? For instance, the Bible said in Romans 8:11, it said, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from death dwells in you, same spirit shall what? Quicken your mortal body. He now said, brothers and sisters, you are debtors. Debtors to not live according to the flesh, for you shall die. He said, but debtors to by your spirit mortify. You know, your new spirit now is one with the Holy Spirit. So your new spirit is the Holy Spirit. Say, my new spirit is the Holy Spirit. Now front your face, don't be scared. Say, my new spirit is the Holy Spirit. You don't have a counterfeit spirit. The Bible says you are one spirit with Christ. And if your spirit joins with Christ, of course, it's your spirit that will be swallowed up. So your new spirit is now the Holy Spirit. How did I know that? The Bible said the spirit searches all things, yea, deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9. In 10:11, he said, no one knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man. He said, the same way, no one knows the heart of God but the spirit of God. Then the Bible says in verse 12, he said, you have received the spirit who is from God, that you may what? Truly know the things of God. He doesn't say, who knows the mind of Christ that may instruct him? He said, all of you, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Meaning by the reason of the Holy Spirit, God's spirit on your inside, you know automatically the things in God's heart. Say, my new spirit is the Holy Spirit. Don't be scared. You know, some of you think you are just this old thief, Idoma boy, this archaic, igede boy. You are bigger than that. Don't describe yourself from your earthly tribes. You've been called out from every tribe, nation, and people because you never belonged there in the first place. Yes. What do you mean, prophet? Yes. That's not your origin. You hail from heaven. You hail from God. You are in this world, not of this world. That's why you should not allow thief and Idoma and Igede make you to sound foolish and behave foolish. I will not marry that tribe. Igede people, they don't know how to. See, you are a child of God. You don't have any tribe in the spirit. Glory to God forevermore. Our tribe is better than your tribe. You are not wise. They that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. That's what the Bible says. Hey, me, I cannot marry thief boys. Oh, they too like women. Idoma boys. They don't like women. They like men, isn't it? Funny ideologies. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, one time somebody found out my tribe and the person was like, what? I said, why the shout? He said, unbelievable. How could you be this tribe? Many years ago on campus, There were some people coming to our church. Before they graduated, they found out my tribe. The lady said, Jesus. She now went to the side. Ah, this one shocked me. I'm so disappointed, God. And I was like, why are you so disappointed? Then the friend said, oh, she was thinking you are their tribe. She has been planning, blah, blah, blah. And now she's disappointed. So because I'm another tribe now, she doesn't want to marry me again. But all this while, she saw the potential she was looking for. It's not like we had something, but she had something in her heart with her spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know, most people like that, they have faith, serious faith. That somebody does not know you, does not know your thinking, does not know your belief, but you just have this faith that it will work. That's why some of you end up becoming witches, because you will be watching from afar. Nobody should look at the boy. Nobody should look at him. Nobody should look at that girl. It's your girl. It's your boy. In fact, you don't like where they sit sometimes in church. They sit in a certain place and you're like, that mumuna, go they talk to her. You know? You become a witch automatically. You are following somebody everywhere, monitoring spirit. You know, I had this friend many years ago in Kaduna. Now, immediately we finish fellowship and go back home. She said, that girl like you. I said, how? They're there now. Did you say she was smiling like goats? She likes you. I said, no. She came for prayer. I said, be there, let them deceive you. I know what I'm telling you. The other one that came later, that one too like you. She knows everybody that like me. One time they're doing a prayer. I heard the story in their house. So they now put paper to tell who will marry me. So when they did it, coincidentally, she now picked me. Her friends now picked other people. Is God not glorious? She was the one that did the paper and opened it. So I'm sure she marked that one that my name was inside. She now told them that the other day, you know, I think she was telling her friend, the friend was telling me that she said, if I am her husband, I would talk about a certain topic while I was preaching. So we were in church and I just coincidentally started talking about the topic. They just hit themselves. Bah, bah. It was a sign. So to call the long story short, she has two children now for another man. I'm different. This is the obvious sign. We don't belong to each other. Hallelujah to Jesus. Some ladies are like that. See, stop. You see all these lie dreams some of you used to have. Let me advise you, stop it. Huh? Some of you as ladies, you have dreamt about a guy in this church. I'm advising you, go and undream it. So that you have peace of mind. It's a proof that you are a baby in the faith. It's a proof. See, any boy you like, you dream about. Any girl you like, you dream about. Man of God, I saw her putting a ring in my hand. Oh, it's because you like her. So when it settled in my heart that she's my wife, I found peace. See, when you like somebody, you will find peace. Say, sir, the proof that God spoke to you, is it not peace? Say, yes, I have peace. Be very sincere to yourself. When you are married, there is no going back. I hope you know that. I don't know if some of you have option of divorce in your heart. Some of us, we know we don't have option of divorce. That's why we are careful. Because the day we divorce, we have lost our life and ministry. You know, somebody say one certain man of God divorced. He reached that height, he divorced. That is why nothing is happening. When you divorce at this level, what will happen? Nobody will come to the church again. Say, let's go to Glory Kaya, I beg, Prophet Simon, don't divorce, I beg. But he has a word for us. I forget, I beg. Make you go look for who will give that word to his divorce. So, as Christians, we don't have an option. Are you listening to me? Yes. You cannot divorce. Some of you have watched your fathers marry three wives, so you are not even scared of making a choice. You can marry anybody and leave her and marry another person. Don't be like that. You are being a coward, not a Christian. In the beginning, God did not say anybody should marry more than one wife. That's why when he created Adam, he didn't create Eve and Jacinta. He just created Adam and Eve. He didn't create another woman in the world. Because if he had created that, the kind of doctrine he would have had in this life. Now, he did not even create Adam and Eve and another woman. Yet, people are still arguing that he can marry more than one wife. Some people, because of this thing, they'll say Christianity is useless. Let's go to our ancient tradition just because of wife. Our fathers married more than one wife. Are you listening? So there's no going back. Make the right choice. Don't joke. It is not all that glitters that is good. Listen to me carefully. Where was I? I know where was I. Yesterday or 2 days, 3 days, a friend was speaking to me and he told me, he was so happy. He just called me for a gist. I'm sure he's following this service. I'll use it to teach people. He wanted to marry many years ago, this lady, and he had been with her for several years. And all of a sudden, he now changed his mind from marrying her. He found another lady and got married to the lady. Then, you know, before he got married, he became better in finances and the rest. So, some people were now like, wicked boy. He left the lady that suffered. They did not suffer together because the lady had her father too. Him too, he had his father. She was eating her father's food. I don't know what suffer they suffered together. Everybody was just in the barracks, so nobody suffered anybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. See, the people, after they've seen, gone through the thick and thin, that boy did not go through any thick and thin. He now went and married another person and left that one, blah, blah, blah. So they started insulting him. Some of our brothers in the faith too were against him. But he called me. I was almost in such a situation, but not exactly like his own. So we could share our pain together at that time. So when he called me, I said, I mean, God told me to leave, blah, 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 blah. I can't marry that lady, blah, blah, blah. I now explained certain things. My case is not exactly his case. Amen? So I said to him that a lot of times we got into those relationships ignorantly. So don't be scared. Don't be scared, I told him. I said, if you know it's God, except you don't know. But if you know it's God, make the move. Do not be scared. People always put fear in your heart. But if you know it's God, go in faith. You may not understand now, but you understand in the future. He went ahead, got married. I mean, we celebrated it. Some people did not even post the picture because they were against him and etc. To cut the long story short, he was now posted to a certain place where the lady was in a church. She was serving in the church. Coincidentally, he was friends with the, because he's into ministry too. He became friends with the pastor, even though he was a military person. And one time they were talking and they now spoke about that particular, the pastor now said, I know her. He said, you know her? He said, yes. She attended my church while she was blah, 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 blah. He said, you dated her. You wanted, he said, thank you, Jesus. You did not marry her. He now said, pastor, please go ahead and explain. Because till now, I used to still feel like some guilt used to be in my heart. He now told him the story. How she, my God. If I start the story, I will not finish it. But how she misbehaved sexually, blah, blah, blah. Like Joseph's madam. Do you understand that story? And accused an innocent guy who in church for attempting to sleep with her. The pastor almost threw the guy out of the church. But the Holy Ghost said, have a big meeting. And know what happened. So he brought the lady, brought everybody, brought witnesses. And the lady confessed that the pastor was not aligning. And she doesn't know what kind of... So she was not tempted to lie on him because he was not agreeing. And she liked him. She liked him. And she was sorry. The pastor almost ran mad. He almost drove his faithful son in the faith because he felt the guy sexually wanted to harass somebody. Not knowing that the lady was making advances and the guy was refusing all these years. So she now had to go and lie to the pastor that he tried to force himself on her. Because she thought the guy would have run. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So go and report. But the guy did not report. That's why you should be reporting immediately. Imagine the girl report, the boy now come and report. They would have solved the issue very, very fast. And when they found out she apologized, the pastor had to suspend her for a while. She now left the church. And the pastor said, sir, that's not the only boy. She liked like 10, 15, like 12 disciples. She had the disciples of followers she liked. And the brother said, he almost started crying. He put his hand on his head. He said, no wonder my heart did not allow me to marry that lady. Marriage is not a reward for a long relationship. Is not. We're for 7 years. 7 is a perfect number. It's not a reward for long relationship. Are you listening to me, people of God? Never be especially ladies, never be scared to leave a guy that you later find out is false because you have stayed 12 years. It doesn't matter. This is not my point. I just use it to bless you. Are we together? Are you here? Where was I? I want to close. I said I wanted to close since. Where was I? The fullness of the Spirit, isn't it? Now, we were reading 1 Corinthians. Let us finish that. Fullness of the Spirit, I was trying to hit what? Okay, our buddy. All right, let me hit that point. So, I now said, if God wants us, I think I should hit this one and we'll close, isn't it? Huh? I'm trying to be good members. I know you want me to close. Don't worry, I'll close. I said to myself, the Bible says walk by faith and not by sight. The faith realm is by the word, by hearing the word, isn't it? So we have to exercise faith as long as the parousia has not happened. That's how to walk in the glory, even in this world. But in the parousia, nobody needs to exercise faith. It will be all automated. It will be automatic. I don't know that we are getting what I'm trying to explain. Nobody will need to say, I'm above only and not beneath in the name of Jesus because we're in the fulfillment of faith. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So that's the only difference. So you can walk in the fullness of the glory now, but the only exercise you do now is prayer, meditation, to push your faith to its peak. Things that build your faith because you will walk by faith right now. That's why Jesus as a man had to pray. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Because men ought to pray, else what is happening? They are fainting. That's the only difference. You have a glorious body. Say, I have a glorious body. And it's activated by what? Faith. You keep on speaking. That is why we cannot afford not to pray. Are you listening to me? 1 Corinthians, etc. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 3, right? So just hit the last scripture and we pray. This is the third time now, so I have to close. Where we were. Just one point I want to hit there. This scripture, I promise. No, where we were. Verse 13, right? Is it 13 or 12? See 12 immediately, then rush. Let me see 12. So then, with this amazing hope living in us, we step out in freedom. And boldness, what? Speak the truth. Next part of scripture. We are not like Moses who used to what? To keep the Israelite from what? As it faded away. Next part of scripture. Their mind were closed. And what? For even to this day, that same veil what? When they hear the... Are you seeing this now? When you learn the old tradition instead of the new, something covers your face. The veil has not yet been what? Lifted from them. For if it was only eliminated when... he said, for it is only what? Eliminated when one is joined to the Messiah. Other scriptures say when one sees Christ. Are you seeing this now? So you see, Moses is not a devil. He started something. It was mixed with human philosophy. And it now became a limitation to what God is doing today. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? He's not a devil. That is the same thing that happened with some of these people that had gone ahead of us. Devils. Whatever they have started would have mixed with philosophy at the initial point. Isn't it? And kind of standing as a limitation right now. So all we need to do is, like Jesus, not coming to condemn them and insult them, but to just show the right path and keep on honoring them for their boldness of faith to stand for the faith in the several years. And not to mock them openly. Just like this man in scripture in the Old Testament that drank and was naked. Was it Noah? And somebody now revealed his nakedness, took advantage of his nakedness. What did God do? He was angry at that person. A curse came upon the person. Isn't it? So you can't come out to the world and be saying, our giant of faith is useless. That's what that preacher is doing. And God is not pleased with him. How can you come out and say, Padiboye is a false, is a liar, is a thief? Are you okay? In all honesty, even if he said something that was not right, can you boldly stand before God and say, this is a thief? Is he adding to the kingdom or removing from the kingdom? He's adding. He's adding to the kingdom. Now, do you people get what I'm trying to explain? Love sees need not fault. That's how to judge. This is what will cause you to walk in maturity. In fact, love is what we call the peak of maturity in scriptures. Bible says faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of all these is what? Love. He said, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, have the ability to explain all mysteries. If I don't know love, he said, I'm what? I'm nothing. He said, love keeps no record of wrongs. Love is what? Patient, is kind, it keeps no... So if somebody is really teaching the truth in love, he should be kind in his approach. He should not be keeping records of wrongs. How can you come, you are teaching doctrine, and you are saying, I know some of your Jews that used to steal this. Is that the doctrine you are teaching? And you are insulting men of God. You know, the other time I saw, he came online, he said, pastors are claiming that they can never be sick. I know they are doctors. I know they are, only you know they are doctors. Noah. You know all they are doctors. What a lie. Their doctors report to you as a senior doctor. Maybe you too, you went to see the doctor, so the doctor told you that person to him is doctor. It's so funny. And the question is it wrong for a pastor to have a doctor? Did pastors that say you can never be sick in your life say that you should not see a doctor? Have I ever told you not to see a doctor? You should have a doctor to check yourself. Because the way we eat in this country, we need to have a doctor. Who told you a doctor should not check himself? Check yourself. As Christians, check yourself. As you are saying, I can never be sick in my life, still be checking yourself. So that in case the sickness is knocking the door, you can still hit it. I say, get out, I can never be sick. And you tell it, get out, not just by hitting it by faith. Oh. You use Panadol and hit it too. Get out in the name of Jesus, I can never be sick. Who told you cannot take Panadol? Did you ever say anything yet that don't take Panadol? I've never said that in my life. But the reason why we tell you to have more faith in God than in drugs is that at some point, drugs will fail. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? It will fail. If your faith is in this hope, in this world, you have all men most what? Miserable. Have you not heard doctors say, go and pray? Have you not heard doctors say, go and pray? If doctor tell you to pray, you are finished. Doctor like this that solves that kind of problem, say, go and pray. Doctors that don't, most doctors that don't even believe in prayer, or pastors, yet they still tell you, my brother, go and pray. Oh. He said, which religion, which God do you worship? Go and ask the God to help you, because this is the last, we have finished your case. Nothing again for you. Kenneth Hagin that we are celebrating today, see, faith is really wonderful. Many years ago, Kenneth Hagin, before he came to the limelight, he had a sickness that doctor said, mommy, daddy, please take your child home. There's no need keeping him. Hey, no, doctor, let him be, treat him here, put the drip. Doctor said, forget, even if this drip is on him or not, he's dying in so-so days. That's what was said about Kenneth Hagin. That we are all celebrating. He lived almost 100 years. The devil wanted to steal him. When he went back home, he took scriptures. Everybody gave. Pastor came. Listen, let me not shout this one. Pastor came and said they should come and sign death certificate. Kenneth Hagin wrote it in his book. Some churches are mortuary. He said, come and sign it. That's why I said I hate it when they will say a church have death chairman, chairman Uku, committee Uku. What of committee that brings people back to life? Burial committee. You know, I went for a burial. They said the chairman of the burial committee has not arrived. We are waiting for him. There's a chairman of burial committee. Why would not be expectant that people will die? We are very open to death. You are welcome. That's how we created chairman. And there's a constitution for his replacement should in case he die. And the chairman who knows, he has a customer where he buys caskets. The customer that gives him cheap price. It's just like, imagine we are here now. Someone of us is making casket. It's not like we are saying you are a wicked person. But imagine we have a member here making casket. And one Sunday he comes out for testimony. What? I say, everybody lift your hand. If you want your business to move, lift your hand and say, move. And you are clearly, move, oh, move. Oh my God. Hallelujah. So the church, I love E.W. Kenyon. I was reading his book. Oh my God, that man scattered my head when I was young. He scattered my head. He reset my head upside down. He, Kubus, Kenneth Hagin, they all pastor, they resetted this head. I was reading his book one time. He wrote, he said, we will not come. He said, I await a day where young people will not come for burial services. They will come and conduct resurrection services. You see, some of them were nice. Because you are not the one that will resurrect the dead. That's why. You don't even believe it can happen. You can't wait to die. What is in your mind is how to eat the next dinner. You know, you must live for something bigger than stomach. We're here talking about kingdom. Somebody is thinking, why is my business not moving? Why will it move? Seek first kingdom. That Sunday's teaching. Why first the kingdom? Why? How did I put it? Why kingdom first? Why kingdom first? You will see it more on Sunday. We will hit the nail on the head. More concerning this thing we've just started saying. Are we together? What kind of people that will rise up? I told you a story. One of our superior died. We went to praise, coming back to life. And the mortuary attendant said he was shaking that night. And because they didn't want everybody to hear, they called pastor and told pastor. Pastor was now praying for him to die a peaceful death. Listen, true life story in Kaduna. Pastor woke up in the night, was praying for him to die a peaceful death. That his soul has not rested, that's why. Then when they brought the cups in the morning, he started shaking in the cups, in the casket. When people noticed it, I remember somebody pointed, it's like he's shaking. So immediately, we were planning them to just bring him outside, let's hold our hands and start blasting in tongues. They now knew us, they heard one, I don't know whether somebody betrayed the plan. They just came outside and started throwing warning. He was just warning us. When he saw us, he started warning us from afar. That's how we turned our back and started leaving. Because it was a military environment before they locked us up. Then after they put, he did not preach for the first time. You are burying somebody. Shebi, you will preach before they will bury. That short sermon, he waited when they covered the guy. He started preaching. What was his preaching? Some of you are claiming to be more spiritual than us. We have been in this faith. If somebody die, leave him alone. I heard some young boys are going to pray. You think we don't know all this thing? It's God that gives and God that takes. Ah, I'll never forget the question I asked in my heart. Pastor, are you ready for God to take your daughter now? That was the question that came to my heart. You see why we need to push into this kingdom thing? You need to press into this kingdom thing. Are you seeing reasons why? You have to press. Don't joke. Don't joke. Press. There's no option. If you press into it, you will see glory in your life. You will never have a day to regret. Are you listening to me? Forget food at some point. Press. Press. Live for something bigger than your stomach. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, does not revolve around eating and drinking. But what? Righteousness. What? Peace. And what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. It goes beyond your belly. You must engage the full meaning of ministry of the Holy Spirit. Bow your heads and pray. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. We worship you. Blessed be your name forevermore. Blessed be your name forevermore. Libra handa shabragadia kapo subra halabadia. Jabragabaya. Come on, somebody, pray. 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 Press into the kingdom. Touch it. Ribo kubusukabaya. Press into the kingdom. Libra handa shabragadia. Bora takaba shibra gadia kobara dabaya. Brande kosala brande shabra handa baya. Raba ba 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 shaba ba 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 ba. Press into the kingdom. Press. A mystery that has been hidden in ages past. The Bible says Christ in us. He is the hope of our glory. He is the hope of our glory. He is the hope of our glory. Karabato shapa karadaba sharabaya.
And we will never settle for less. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle for us. We know there's more that's found in you. And we will never settle. We know. And we will never settle. And we will never settle. It's in you. It's in you, Lord. We know there's more that's found in you. It's in you. It's in you. Oh God, we know. It's in you, Lord. It's in you, Lord. We know. It's in you. It's in you, Lord. Oh, we know. Oh, it's in me, God. It's in me, God. I know there's more that's found in me. It's in me, God. Yeah, it's in me, God. Oh, Rabakasha, Baba, Baba. Woo! Rabakosha, Baba, Baba, Baba. Out of our belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Rabakondi braha shaba baba baba. Rabakaba baba 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 ya. Out of a belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Ay. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living water. Higher. Out of my belly shall flow rivers, rivers of living waters. Higher. Out of our bellies shall flow rivers, rivers. rivers of living waters higher in your head. For as the river flows, it begins to bring every thought into life. It's a life-giving river. Oh, let it flow. Let it flow right now. As the river flows, it begins to bring every thought into life. It's a life-giving river. Hey, right now. Lord, let your kingdom flow through our life. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, Lord, through me, through me. Oh, Maranabayan, Hindanabayan. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Right now. Let it flow, let it flow. Yeah, let it flow. Yeah, right now. Yeah, right now. Oh. This river flow, it begins to bring every thought into life. It's a life-giving river. Right now, as the river flow, it begins to bring every thought into life. Life-giving river. Let it flow, let it flow right now. Woo! Woo!
So back up by the day, Baba Boy.
And I'm a shut up by a coast, Sabra Gadia.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father.
Blessings and honor, glory and power be unto the ancients of days, from every nation, all of creation, bow before the ancients of days.
We see those days, Lord.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne in worship. You will be exalted, O God. thump in heaven on earth. Shall the clay of the Lord, every knee shall bow at your feet and worship. You will be exalted and yours shall not pass away. Always shall love me. Thank you, Father. Lord, we see those days and we see it come to pass through our lives in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, nation shall come upon nation, but that's not a sign. It says, kingdom shall come upon kingdom, but that's not a sign. It says, when the gospel of the kingdom is preached in the whole nations of the earth, then the end will come. And God is going to do that through your life and my life in the name of Jesus.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.